are listening to The Weekly Wrap-Up with your hosts, Marcella Bird and Will Thompson. Hey guys, and welcome to the Clean Sheets Weekly Wrap-Up, where we look at all the news, results and reviews of football in New South Wales, all the way from the NPL 1 down to the State League. I'm your host, as always, Marcella Bird, and joining alongside me is Will Thompson.
Pleasure to be here.
Sweet. Will, how's your weekend?
Oh, yeah, not too bad. Didn't get out to any football. That rain on Sunday really just killed everything.
Yeah, that was a really bad round for football, I guess, in terms of the pitch conditions. Absolutely bucketed everywhere in Sydney. Lots of games had to be rescheduled. You know, it would have been very chaotic for everyone.
Definitely a lot of 18s and 20s didn't get onto the pitch. And, yeah, first grade games like South Coast Flame versus Ghazi had to be moved from Progress Park all the way down to Ian McLennan, so South Coast picking up, I guess, a bonus home game there.
Well, yeah, it would have been a very, very chaotic last minute, and I would imagine that the club championship, which we'll probably get into a little bit later, isn't probably the most accurate reflection, so who knows, we'll probably give an update when everything's going to be, rescheduled, and, you know, we'll see how we go.
Definitely.
So, Will, have you got any news for us?
Yeah, just a couple this week in terms of signings. Right, the Lions have done a double signing of Apostolos Paul Katsidis and Addison Sayan. So, Sayan comes from Hakoa, so he's dropped down a division there. And Katsidis, I'm going to totally butcher this, but he's come from the Greek club AE Ermionidis. I hope I got that right. Any Greeks out there, feel free to correct me on that one. And also, Hawkesbury Hawks last week, they re-signed Velez, who played for the club in the first half of the 2018 season. So he's come back from Uruguay. And actually, fun fact, he came into Australia on the Friday and scored in his first game back against Granville Rage on the weekend.
Well, it's actually pretty good. Well, it was a less than 24 hours recovery time, and it speaks volumes of the player.
Oh, definitely. He's all the way down playing in NPL 3.
Well, there we go. So, on that, speaking of the NPL, we'll probably get into some results and some action that happened over the weekend. One result that that should stand out is Wollongong Wolves battering Sydney FC 4-0 down at Wynn Stadium. Now, Will, what were your thoughts on this game?
Total domination from Wolves once again. Tommy James, I think, scored another double.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, just totally mismatched side there. Wolves pushing the lead out to 5 points now, and they've got a 9-point lead over third place Blacktown City. So, compared to previous years, like, where's this been from the Wolves? It's absolutely crazy, and, you know, it's great for the league.
So, let's put it down to this. Do you think that the NPL one is the Wolves to lose?
100%. Going to the final stretch of games, if they butcher it here, it'd be, you know, one of the biggest chokes in NPL history, I think.
Yeah, I tend to agree as well. You know, Wollongong been on fire since literally round one. I think Thomas James for them has been the absolute revelation of the signing. And as we said last week, you know, any building A-League club or struggling A-League club would be, you know, stupid not even to give him a look in. On other results of the round, we have Sutherland Sharks defeating Blacktown City 2-1 at Seymour Shaw. And perhaps with a bit of an upset, Mount Druitt Town Rangers collecting a 2-0 win over Rockdale City Suns at Poppendenta Park. Manly United picking up a 1-0 win over Marconi Stallions. RPL Leichhardt Tigers defeating Sydney United 58 1-0 at Lambert Park. And at a rescheduled time of 6:15 at a rescheduled park at Lambert Park, Sydney Olympic defeating Hakawa Sydney City East 1-0. Now, out of those matches, which one of those stands out for you?
For me, I think definitely the RPO versus Sydney. RPO went down to 10 men fairly early on in the game and held on to win 1-0, so showing some great resilience there from the Italian side, and yeah, just holding on to win 1-0 after being one man down. That's absolutely huge.
Now, the who was the goal scorer of that game, do you know? Very interesting.
I'm trying to think.
Former Sydney United boy.
Yeah. Vlaster Litsa?
I'll give you. No, it was actually Payne.
Oh, that's right, I was too. Sorry, yeah, it's being credited as an own goal.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Sydney United, well, it's actually interesting to know, Sydney United probably needed this win to kind of consolidate the position in the league, but, you know, it is coming down to around finals time. So Sydney United now on 24 points on the ladder, 4 points behind RPL Leica on 28. So the top five is actually, you know, getting very interesting in the NPL one. As we, you know, me and you have kind of suggested, it is Wollongong Wolves to lose. But that second, third, fourth and fifth, you know, very tight. Manly United on 23 points and RPL Leichhardt second on 28 points. And even then, Rochdale are on sixth position, still tied with Manly United. So it is still, it's not as far-fetched as people think in the title race. So do you think that the final five are finalised, or do you think there could be some surprise upsets?
I think there's a long way to go. You know, we've seen Rochdale start the season poorly, had a pretty good run, and you know they're almost back to their old ways. Sydney Olympic have had a poor run, but now they're starting to pick up a few wins. You know, there's all these clubs. You've got 23 points is the current fifth position. Sydney Olympic's on 20, Marconi on 19, Sharks on 18, Mount Druitt Town on 17. Hell, and even Sydney FC down on 14. I think, you know, you've got all these teams vying for probably two spots for fourth and fifth. I think, you know, Wolves will obviously be there. RP will be there. Look, I think it's pretty open after that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Just on that Mount Druitt Town with the 2-0 win over Rochdale City, I'd probably say that's the surprise win of the round. You know, Mount Druitt Town just newly promoted from NPL2. You know, starting to find their feet, you know, so maybe it's this run of form that will probably see them being kept in the NPL1.
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to be staying up for another year.
All right, good, good. Speaking of promotions, we're going to head over to the NPL2, okay? So, just on your thoughts, how good has the rounds been for the NPL2, seriously, this season? I think there's been a jump in quality, don't you agree?
Oh, most definitely, you know, and just it's goals galore. So if you're a neutral supporter and you're going to pick a game to get to, I'd definitely get to an NPL2 match.
Yeah, exactly. So on the weekend, we had Blacktown Spartans defeating Western Sydney Wanderers 2-1 down at Blacktown Football Park. Bonnering White Eagles picking up 3 points against Mounties Wanderers 2-1 at Cook Park. Hills United defeating Northern Tigers 1-0. The Spirit defeating Rotorua Lions 3-0 at Valentine Sports Park. St. George City defeating the Central Coast Mariners 2-1. And if it wasn't for a late winner, North Shore Mariners defeating the MacArthur Rams 2-1. But there's one match that I want to discuss. I haven't mentioned it yet. Canterbury Bankstown defeating St. George Saints 3-2. Will, the bottom feeders have a win?
Yeah, second of the season. Seemingly came out of nowhere. Obviously, St. George made the FFA Cup, so they're not too bad of a side. Obviously, still hanging down around in 13th position. But yeah, Bankstown getting a win on the board. Is it going to do much for them in the long run? Probably not. Will it boost their confidence? Definitely.
Of course. And St. George are a top side as well. They are a good quality side. As you said, making the national round of 32 in the FFA Cup, it's no easy feat. But here you've got a team that's literally lingering in the bottom end of the table, picking up, as you said, the second winner this season.
Yeah, St. George are they're a really funny one. They've always been sort of that mid-table side, but just having a shocker of a season this year. And Bankstown, you know, in saying that, you know, it was only 14th beating 13th, but still, good win for the Berries.
Yeah, it's a good win, and it now pushes them to 8 points. Still, as you said, last spot, but maybe that gap being closed by 5 points as St. George on 13 points. Now, Western Sydney Wanderers, you know, been losing a bit of form lately, fell 2-1 to Blacktown Spartans. Now, for the majority of the season, the Western Sydney Wanderers were top of the league, and now they're being dethroned or overshadowed by, you know, teams of like Spirit, North Shore Mariners, even Hills United, the surprise package of the league. So where do you think Wanderers are going to go from here?
Look, it is just after the, I guess, the period where A-League contracts finish up, 31st of May. So I think Wanderers will go into a bit of a rebuilding stage in the mid-season. And, you know, they've got to start getting these wins together again. To lose to Blacktown Spartans, huge upset for them.
Yeah, it was probably one of the most upsetting wins of the round. And we've got Bonnery White Eagles who started the season off with a, correct me if I'm wrong, a 30-point club championship production.
Yeah.
Good. And they've actually picked up a 2-1 win over probably the more fancied Mounties Wanderers. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're a pretty good win for Bonnery Rig. Not doing too bad on the ladder. They're up into seventh now. So, you know, they're going to fancy themselves, I guess, to make a charge for the finals. Where they're going to end up, I'd say probably around maybe fourth or fifth, if they're lucky, if they can keep stringing these wins together. But they've been a real up and down side this year.
Yeah, pretty much the yo-yo side of the MPL too. So you'd think a club with such rich history, it'd be a shame for them to be anywhere but the MPL 1. But I think when we discuss the club championship standings, we'll paint a different picture. For other results in the league, it took a very late last-minute winner from North Shore Mariners to defeat MacArthur Rams. Now, MacArthur aren't doing too well this season, they're in 11th spot now. And you've got North Shore who are in second. So was it really a smash-and-grab win for them, or was it just a very unlucky loss for the Rams?
I think pretty unlucky loss for the Rams. North Shore, they're a really quality side, always been sort of up around the top the last couple of seasons. And, you know, to escape last minute against the Rams like that, a win's a win, but I dare say they would have copped a few words from the coach still.
Yeah, it's too true. If I were in the North Shore Mariners position, I would have been like, what the hell just happened? How did we just escape that? But to their credit, MacArthur Rams pushed them all the way in. Who knows, maybe that could be the impetus for them to just have a bit of inspiration, a bit of confidence then for them to move up. Now, moving on to MPL 3. As always, it's pretty much a high-scoring league. Like, as we just said, the MPL 2, good quality, but the MPL 3, every single round, there's goals banging in left, right, and centre.
Yeah, I think the major thing is there's a huge imbalance in terms of clubs, and I've spoken to people before. In my opinion, you could really create another division between MPL 3 and 4 just because there's going to be a few clubs that are too good for 4, but not quite good enough for 3, and we're really seeing that as the table and as the club championship really breaks away, and you can see a clear distinction.
Okay, on that note, some of these teams, will they be satisfied enough to be in the MPL 4? Because as we know, I think there's 5 teams from the MPL 3 that go down. Are they too good for this new proposed MPL 4?
I mean, it's hard. I guess some of them, yeah. Others like Granville and Mariners, probably not. I think the one that's going to be most disappointed if they do go down, is Parramatta. You know, you got clubs like Hawkesbury sort of hanging around the middle there. I think they're too good to go down to MPL 4, but we'll see how they go.
Good. So, yeah. In my opinion, they're going to... Look, for a club like Parramatta, it'd be a shame for them to face a triple relegation, but I think as the club championship stands, they're pretty much in the firing line for it. And you've got clubs from the state league like Central Coast United who are doing quite well, and they will give them a run for their money. So it'll be interesting times in 2020 in the footballing landscape in New South Wales. Now, for some results, we have Western New South Wales Mariners falling 5-0 at home at Proctor Park to Dulwich Hill. Inter Lions making light work of Parramatta FC 4-2 at Valentine Sports Park. We've got Stanmore Hawks and Hawkesbury City playing a 1-1 draw at Arlington Oval. The Southern District Raiders defeating Dunbar Rovers 2-0 at Ernie Smith Reserve. Gladesville Ride Magic defeating Granville Rage 2-0 at Garside Park. Camden Tigers getting a 4-1 win over Sydney University at Rondine Stadium. And for the Saturday night fixture, probably the pick of the bunch, New Boys, Bankstown United defeating Derby rivals Bankstown City 4-2 at Jensen Park. Now, what a match that was from all accounts. Bankstown United, the New Boys of MPL 3, if we can say it's a David and Goliath kind of battle, David definitely won this one. Will, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely huge win in the reverse fixture earlier this year. It was a 1-1 or a 0-0 draw. I can't quite remember. I know it was a draw.
Yeah, it was a draw game.
BF and United had come out 4-2 winners. Bangshouse is really going to be kicking themselves after that. I know there was a bit of a fiery week in the lead-up. Maybe a bit of war, a bit of,
derby banter.
Yeah, yeah. There was a bit of derby banter coming out from Lions, especially. Bankstown United, not as much. But, man, to get a 4-2 win over your rivals, that's got to be something big.
In your first season as well, and especially that Bankstown City are on top of the ladder. 33 points on first, and Bankstown United occupying that last final spot on 27 points in fifth.
Yeah, doing quite well there. And just talking about the ladder, from first down through to sixth, there's only a 7-point difference. So really tied up the top there. The ladder, I guess your final spots are almost determined. There's a few clubs like Dully and Dunbar that are sort of hanging around, doing just enough to keep within sniffing distance. But for the most part, I think, Bankstown City, Hawks, Magic, Raiders, Bankstown United probably will be there.
And you've even got into Lions on 26 points. So, even if they pick up a run of form, and the teams above them decide to slip, it's literally anyone's game in the NPL3. It's actually probably the tightest in all the leagues across New South Wales.
Yeah, definitely. And then when you go down from there, you really see the divide I spoke about just before. Camden Tigers on 18, Hawks on 17, Uni on 15, Granville 10, Parramatta 9, Mariners 6. So you've really got these, top sort of 7-8 teams, and then you've got the rest. And as I said, you could almost take some of those, create a 3.5 or 4, push some of those teams from 4 down to a 5, bring some of them up, bring some new clubs in. I think, some of them are just that horribly mismatched. And if you look at it, like Parramatta, a club with such rich history, coming second last with 3 wins to their name.
I think when they went down last season for the second time, a lot of people thought, yeah, it's the NPL3. They'll bounce back. They'll be up in NPL2 and, NPL1 maybe 2020, 2021. But as it stands, it's not looking too good for them. In your opinion, what do you think's gone wrong for Parramatta?
It's hard to say. They brought in Tony Basher, who's a quality coach and has done some fantastic work with some great players that have gotten played in the A-League. So it's not him. And, so you can't do the usual, let's just play in the coach, let's sack the coach and start again next season. It's not their 18s and 20s. Like, they're doing pretty well in the league for themselves. For the first graders, they're just, they're not firing. They're copying, they're not even copying that many goals. They've only conceded 30, which, if you have a look, is right up around sort of mid-table level, maybe just a little bit worse. Only scoring 19 in, 15 matches?
The ratio is almost a goal a game. But they went on a massive mid-season recruitment drive, so maybe it's, maybe it just needs a little bit more time to gel for these new recruits to come into the side, make themselves known and, start firing. Sheldon Tweedy scored his first goal for Parramatta this weekend. So, maybe it's that kind of impetus that they need to, promote and push.
Yeah, definitely. I think, it's going to take quite a few runs of full rounds, getting the 21 points if they have a survival. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But I've always said, when you're talking about people thought they might get back up to NPL1, 21, 22. No, NPL 2 and 3 are very, very competitive. We saw a couple of years ago with Rydalman, Fraser Park, NPL3 battling for promotion, going literally down to the last game. It's so tight in those two leagues.
It's a crazy league, and this is where, I know it sounds a bit cliche, but this is where football lives. This is basically your standing in the cold parks on a Saturday, Sunday night, 50, 60, 100, 150 people there battling on. This is what football really is.
100%, and I think it raises the question, and Football New South Wales have kind of addressed this, but one up, one down just simply isn't enough. especially when we're talking these two leagues right here, there is more than enough talent that could move up into the NPL 2. Some clubs that deserve to play in NPL 3 but sort of get saved every year by average results, or maybe clubs that should be down in State League but get saved by someone else having a really average season. So I applaud them for moving to that 1.5. You can almost stretch it out to a full 2 up, 2 down, or even 2.5 up, 2.5 down.
Fair enough. Well, personally, I think we should have 2 up, 2 down. And if we do 2.5, it'd be really exciting to have a promotion relegation playoff, just to, you know, add just a little bit more excitement, a little bit more juice just to the league, because even though the A-League doesn't have it, and rest assured the A-League does need it, we need to keep this idea of promotion relegation alive in Australia.
Yeah, and the only way that we're going to keep pushing it is to just keep it alive in the NPL. You know, and when the championship comes in, that Pro-Rel that they're talking about back into the NPL systems, it's going to be important to get that up and running as soon as possible. I don't know how they're going to do it yet. We know with the old NSL, they did sort of the bottom-placed side from whichever state they wanted to relegate, basically got relegated. But no, it's going to be an interesting, I guess, dilemma and problem that they have to work through.
Yeah, no, too true, too true. On that note, we'll move on to the last league, the New South Wales State League. So we've got, in some results, University of New South Wales falling 3-2 to the Central Coast United at Ellerdon Sports Centre. Fraser Park picking up a 1-0 win away to Prospect United. Balmain Tigers with a 4-3 win over the Western Condors. South Coast Flame and FC Ghazi Auburn with a 1-1 draw. And Hurstville City Minotaurs losing 2-0 to the PNFC, with Hurstville City having the bye in this round. Now, there was a lot of imbalances in this particular round. Now, the result that stands out for me the most is Balmain Tigers defeating Western Condors 4-3. Now, Balmain, as we know, were sitting at the bottom of the table, now have pushed themselves up into 10th spot, but the University have a game in hand. So this league, Will, it's going to cease to exist next year. Yep. These teams that are really at the top, so you've got your Fraser Parks, your Central Coast Uniteds, who are basically running away with it. So you've got Fraser Park on 28 points, Central Coast on 27, and there's a massive gap. South Coast Flame in third on 19 points. So really, it's a two-horse race here. Who do you think's going to take it out?
Very hard. I think it's definitely one that's going to go down to the final day. And I said it in my championship preview right from last week. Central Coast and Fraser play in a couple of weeks, and I think the winner of that's going to pretty much decide both premiers, and it may go away a long way to decide the club championship, I guess, depending on other results here and there. But yeah, Fraser Park at the moment, it's hard to fold them. Only two losses. Central Coast United have had three. Haven't drawn a game yet, to their credit, and they scored 7 more goals. But apart from that, there's not much difference. And I guess we're seeing parallels to the last couple of seasons as well. Last year with Central Coast United and Bankstown. The year before that, we had Bankstown and... it escapes me who the other club was that was battling for promotion. I think Nepean went down to the last day as well. There always seems to be two clubs that do really well, and then the rest, you could kind of almost group them together. As you can see, from third down to 10th, there's only 7 points. The State League NPL 4, it's a pretty funny one.
Yeah, it is. Well, me personally, I think Fraser Park will take it out, even though, as you said, it'll be a... the determining game will be the battle between Fraser Park and Central Coast. But I think there's just probably a bit too much quality within Fraser Park. No discredit to Central Coast whatsoever, but Fraser Park have been battered and hurt over the years. And I think in order for them to survive as not only as a, into the NPL 3, but as a club as a whole, they really need this win.
Yeah, and if you go back to a couple of years ago when they were battling with Rydalmere in NPL 3, it just makes you wonder how different things would have been if they had got promotion instead, and would they still be up in NPL 2?
Yeah, so league champions one season and relegation fodder in the next.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And with that, we'll move on. So some pretty weird things have happened over the week in social media. No more than the Football New South Wales NPL 1 Team of the Week. Now, Will, I understand you've got some things to say.
Yeah, definitely. And so Football New South Wales, as you know, they put up their Team of the Week every week. And I guess for the last few weeks, there's been some inconsistencies or some odd choices. So let me just read you through what they put up at the moment. So they said, even though the result did not go the way for Sydney FC against the Wolves, keeper Thomas Heward-Bell made sure the scoreline did not get too out of hand, having made several astonishing saves in keeping the Sky Blues at bay. How is 4-0 not getting out of hand?
Like, yeah, I think that 4-0 is pretty much out of hand.
I mean, how can you concede 4 goals and get Team of the Week? No other league would you see that. Yeah, okay, he might have made some good saves, but at the end of the day, you've still got 4 goals, and you can blame your defence as much as you like, but at the end of the day, you're the one with the gloves. Like, that I don't understand.
Like, as a goalkeeper, surely you see everything. Yes, you've got 4 or 5 defenders in front of you, but you're meant to be commanding your back line, you know? Even though there is an on-field captain, you are in charge, basically, of defence. You see everything that others don't, so... You know, I think Football New South Wales got it wrong here. You can't put a goalkeeper who's conceded 4 goals as the goalkeeper Team of the Week. You know, there are other scorelines where, you know, goalkeepers kept clean sheets. You know, where's their recognition? You know, where's their... All right, you made some good saves. I'm not denying the quality of Howard Bell, not none whatsoever, but I think the choice is probably a bit off-handed, this one.
I think so, and on the flip side, you know, I think Justin Passfield, he had a relatively quiet day, so you're not going to give it to him. But then the Wolves' defence, they kept Sydney FC at bay, and they have 0 plays in the defensive line in Team of the Week. So the back line there they've got is Warren, who, by all accounts, by some of the game, had a pretty ordinary game. Esposito from Rangers, Artred from Manly, and Gleamy from Apia. Now, Gleamy 100% deserved, going down to 10 men and keeping a clean sheet and getting the winner, or being part of the team that got the winner. As they deserve, but again, Wolves, and I think this was a couple of weeks ago as well when they had another 4-0 win, no Wolves players in defence got Team of the Week.
A bit perplexing, at least on my end. You think keeping a, you know, attack that can score 4 goals, and then keeping, you know, a tight ship like they've done, surely needs some sort of commending from those up in people who actually make these decisions. You know, I'd love to see their justification behind it. I know they gave a bit of an explanation, but surely, I don't know, like, to me, it just seems a bit, let's say, absurd.
Definitely. And then, like, if you go through the mids, so you got Antonio from Sharks, who had a pretty good game, Kikaris, who, you know, played pretty well, so Parisi, obviously, from RPR, good game, and Akata from Wolves. He's been on fire lately, may I say. He's just, he's really lighting up the league down at Wollongong. And then you get up to your attackers, and I guess the man that's going to win probably he's going to win all the top awards at the end of the season. He scored 18 goals in 15 games. You got Thomas James, who you can't fault him. And I said it again last year, he's the most fouled player in the league, hands down. You don't even have to go back and look at the stats or anything like that. But 100% most fouled player because clubs know he's a threat.
Yeah, and now you're right with him taking out probably all the gongs at the end of the season. All in all, I think that, you know, that people who make these kind of decisions probably need to, you know, take into account, you know, the type of game that they had, that the individual players had, and, you know, maybe reconsider one or two decisions.
Yeah, I think so, and I'm not sure how they decide who gets into the Team of the Week. The last player running out was Mendy from Manly as well. He did score the winner at Cromer Park. But, man, some of these decisions every week are just perplexing.
You know, as we've seen, you know, time and time again, people do get perplexed about, you know, footballing decisions, whether it's on the field, off the field, you know. But I think at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's what makes the game so interesting, but at the same time so very frustrating.
Yeah, I think people just want a little bit of consistency where it matters the most. I'm still scratching my head. I'm sorry. Like, you know, I'm sure he's a great player and all, but to got 4 goals and get Team of the Week, come on.
No, I agree with you 100% there. Now, other than that, we'll move on to the club championships, unless there's anything else that you want to discuss?
No, that's my rant done.
Excellent. And that's our rant of the week, brought to you by Will Thompson. Thank you, Will.
You're welcome.
So, moving on, we'll move on to the club championships. So, Will, give us a bit of a rundown of what's happening.
So, MPL 1, not a great lot to talk about. Blacktown obviously still leading the way. Wolves in second, a good 22 points off the pace, but you know, it's MPL 1 club championship. No one really cares who comes up the top. Everyone wants to know who's going to get relegated. And Okoa losing to Sydney Olympic on the weekend, absolutely massive in terms of relegation there. Okoa sitting on 74 points. Marconi and Olympic both tied on 128. A couple of games in hand, but yeah.
I think that's a leap too far for Okoa. You know, I think it's their season to go down. You know, I can't see them overtaking the other two teams you just mentioned, Marconi and Olympic, right now until the end of the season. I think there's just too little, too late if they do pick up some steam. But and I can't see this ending well for Hakoa Sydney City East.
No, definitely. Like, you're talking about three full rounds of 21 points just to get back in front of one of them and hope that, you know, Sydney Olympic or Marconi get 0 points over the next 3 weeks. And when you've got an under-20 side who are underperforming, an 18 side who, you know, I guess are underperforming as well, and their first grade is just massively underperforming. I think they've had a pretty good run the last couple of years in NPL 1, but it's time for them to head down a league.
Yeah, I think sometimes the best way of rebuilding is to, you know, pick yourself up from where you've fallen. I just think that for them, last season they struggled as well, them and Sydney FC. I think they were saved by the skin of their teeth. And I think for them, it's just too much for them. As you said, you need the teams above them to get 0 points and them to get maximum points. And I just don't think it's going to happen. Not improbable, just, you know, I think probably just a bit too much for them.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, you've got clubs like Sydney Olympic and Marconi having a pretty average season, and they're going to be safe because someone was worse than them.
Exactly. So I think the underperformance of Hakoa is going to save Sydney Olympic and Marconi Stallions.
Most definitely. Moving on to MPL 2, and at the top of the table there, Western Sydney Wanderers have severely had the lead cut, especially failing to pick up that first grade win against Blacktown Spartans. They did win the 18s and 20s, or I think maybe they had a draw in one of them. But they're on 217, North Shore Mariners right behind on 206, so only an 11-point lead. Spirit not too far away. Obviously, Spirit led the league for the first couple of weeks there. They moved back to Hills. Mounties Wanderers 189 and 182 apiece. If you want to count Central Coast Mariners 176 and Northern Tigers 178, but then we're just starting to get maybe a little bit too far. But again, from memory, I think Wanderers might have had like a 30-40-point lead only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. I remember seeing it a couple of weeks ago. They were really much in front. I think, as you just mentioned, the failure to pick up maximum points or even like, you know, majority of the points is really going to hurt their title chances.
Yeah, and after missing out on promotion the first season, when Sydney FC got promoted, you know, they've invested, what, $20 million in this training academy. I know they're gunning all out, and this is, I think if they don't get it this year, it's going to be quite a few years before they get another shot at it, especially moving away from this club championship model where you've got their 20s doing really well and their 18s also doing really well. With the first graders, they're just not getting it done.
Yeah, and look, and we see sometimes time and time again, because they're only playing 23s and you've got them versus men, like, you know, it's good for their experience. They're going to be wrong. And, you know, as a feeder into the A-League side, you know, it's how do I put it this way? It's good for their development, but it's not good for them when they move away from the club championship model next season. They're going to have to rely solely on themselves and not their 18s and 20s for them to get the points.
Exactly right. So Wanderers definitely starting to slip. North Shore Mariners could make a bounce, and we could see them in MPL 1 next year. Looking down the other end, and Kerry Bankstown did pick up quite a few points over the weekend, especially that first grade win over St George. They still see themselves 60 points off of safety. MacArthur Rams, 92 points. Again, they're another 31 points away from safety. St George FC, they're a 97. Now, they're only 26 points away, so if they that loss really hurt them. But a couple of wins could see them edge closer to survival and maybe push Rydalmere down. And then from there, Wanneroo Wild Eagles, 126, doing just enough to keep alive. The 30 points hurt them, but it may not bite them in the arse as such yet. Although in saying that, there's still quite a few rounds to go.
Yeah, so and look, I think anything can happen. Me personally, I think Wanneroo are going to survive, and I think that Canberra, it's just too much for them to come back, and I think they're going to go down to NPL 3 next season.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think there's any other way for them to really stay up. Their first grade is where it's hurting the most. In saying that, like MacArthur Rams, they've only got 4 points from their 18s. St George are doing pretty average across the board. Bonnyree getting 92 points from the first graders, so their first grade is doing all right. Their 20s are letting them down there. And obviously, yeah, then that 30-point deduction. So I think for the most part, you've got that bottom three set. Rydalmere is a wild card to maybe go down.
I don't know. Like I said, wild card, but I can't see it happening. I just think, as we said in the NPL 1, it's how bad other teams are performing that save you from your relegation, if that makes sense.
100%. Let's get right into NPL 3, because this is where it's the most interesting out of the lot. Bankstown City, after slipping up to Bankstown United on the weekend, they're on 204 points. And then one place back and 1 point back, SD Raiders on 203. Now, the three clubs at the top have all had their share at the top of the table at one point or another, but Bankstown City very much in danger of losing that top spot. And then obviously you have Glazeride Magic, and we didn't discuss this last week because we realised that the table wasn't updated, but I did talk about it in the article. They're on 198. They had Granville Rage on the weekend, and as I said, if they pick up max points, they could really play themselves into the conversation again.
Yeah, look, me personally, I think Gladesville are going to get the top spot, the top spot at the end of this, come into the season, but it's not going to come easy. And I think SD Raiders and Bankstown City are going to have something to say about it. It's going to be a really tight finish to the end of the season in the NPL 3. And I think out of all the leagues in New South Wales, this is where, you know, it's going to be the most exciting.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, as we were discussing before, we started a couple of years ago with Rydalmere and Fraser. Looking at this week's fixtures, and I think Gladesville are going to really fancy themselves to have a good shot at moving into first place. They play Western New South Wales Mariners. Is that Christie Park? So they don't even have to travel for that. Now, they should pick up max points there again. Bankstown City play against Inter Lions. Inter's not doing terribly. Inter can take some points off of them. Whether or not
Inter they're like the banana skin.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, if their 20s can pick up a draw, if their first grade can hold to a draw, it could prove disastrous for Bankstown City. The other game as well, SD Raiders and Bankstown United playoff. So, again, pretty crucial, not only in terms of the table, but also in the club championship.
Yeah, you got two really ambitious sides who, you know, it's like you can honestly see four teams out of this entire league winning the club championship. It's just a matter of who really wants it the most, you know, and who's not going to let their 18s and 20s affect their first side's chances.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, I think, as you said, the top four, City, Raiders, Magic and United, Dunbar, they're only 6 points behind Bankstown United, so maybe just staying in the conversation there, just maybe doing enough. They are a good, 30-odd points back from first, so they're still in it, and I think they're going to fancy themselves against Hawkesbury City this weekend as well.
That sounds good. Now, I just want to point out, regardless of how the NPL 3 finishes this end of the season, I think this is probably one of the best seasons to date, as far back as I can remember. It's been pretty exciting, you know. And I think as the season comes to a conclusion, you know, we're in the, you know, kind of the final ends towards the final ends rather of the season. I think it's going to be very exciting to see how it ends.
100%. And as we're saying, it's not sort of a runaway league. You don't have two clubs vying for it. You've got a handful of clubs that all have a decent shot at promotion. Now, I wish I could say the same down the other end, but that's a whole different story. Granville Rage, 36 points. They're going to go down.
36.
Yeah, Western New South Wales Mariners, 37 points. They're going to go down. You're talking, they're a good 100 points off of like having a chance at survival. So as many rounds as there are, I don't see them picking up enough. Parramatta FC, now this is a bit of a contentious one. 76 points, 144 at the moment is the benchmark for survival. So what's that, a good 68 points away. Can they do enough to get to make it back?
Look, I think they can. Right? I can with an asterisk, because it's up to them, you know, and it's also it's not entirely within their hands as well. They've got to see how the other teams in front of them perform. So it's how well they can perform. And you know, as a result of dictated, you know, previously, it's not like they're playing badly. It's just they're not getting the points. So it's them and it's the people in front of them, you know. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it that's in the restructuring that's happening next year, there are five teams from MPPL3 that are going down?
Correct, and that's what makes it so hard. If it was only one, that'd be fine. If it was three, even then, they'd have a bit of a battle on their hands, but that'd be fine. Possibly. Five makes it really hard.
You know, I think that the entire team at Parramatta FC have cut out for them, but, you know, they are a proud club, and I think they can do it. They can do it, but whether it will happen, that's really, you know, I can't look into the future. And I don't know what's going to end up happening with them.
Oh, definitely. And like, I just had a quick look at the next couple of games. They've got Sydney Uni at home. They've got Stanmore Hawks at home. Now, Stanmore's been doing pretty fantastic in their first grade especially. So that's going to be a challenge. Mariners away. Dulwich away. Raiders away. Cladesville at home. Hawkesbury at home. Bankstown away. Granville at home. Bankstown United away. And Camden at home. So, man, they really have an uphill battle there.
Look, it is, like you said, it is an uphill battle, but I think it's a battle they can probably overcome. But like I've said before, it's also not just on them, it's the teams in front of them that they need to rely on their results. So, you know, hopefully this flurry of mid-season signings click in for them and their 20s and their 18s do well for them. You know, they are a historic club. They're a very proud club. And, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll reach their own standards.
Yeah, they've really got to click soon. Camden Tigers 100 points, so a good 44 off the pace for them, and Hawkesbury City on 106, again 38 points off the pace. Both clubs, I think, you know, can do it. Whether or not they do, it's a whole other question. It's interesting to point out that the Stanmore Hawks, who did cop that 30 point deduction at the start of the season, have played their way well into safety. So pretty good from them. Their first grade is absolutely killing it and just absolutely keeping the club up. And that's not to take away from their 18s and 20s who are doing, like, they're trotting along. But their first graders are just smashing it out of the park at the moment.
Good. And I think that's what the difference is between them and a few other teams that are, you know, languishing down at the bottom. You need those results. You need results consistently from all grades, because up until, you know, the end of this year, you know, next year, it's just based on your first team results that go up and down. But you need the club culture as a whole to click.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Moving into State League. And as we said before, Central Coast United absolutely running away with the league, 200 points. Fraser Park, 168. And that mostly comes down to their 20s. You got 62 points for Central Coast 20s and 36 for Fraser Parks. So, absolutely massive difference there. And it would be a whole different conversation if, you know, if Fraser's 20s were doing better. And a whole different conversation again if we already had no club championship. And then going back, you got Nepean FC on 125, so they're 75 off the pace. I think you can write them off the rest of the season. It's down to a two-horse race.
And even then, you know, you've got Central Coast you know, well and truly ahead of second place. So I think this is the Central Coast's to lose. You know, they are a good side. You know, they just lost to Bankstown United last season, you know, in the state league when Bankstown United got promoted. So they are still showing their quality. So I think it's theirs to lose, and I think we'll see them in a revamped NPL3 next season.
Look, I hope so. In saying that, though, they were in a similar position as to what they were now against Bankstown United, and then they had that game, I think it must have been, what, 2-3 rounds from the end, where Bankstown took the lead in the club championship through a... Was it an extra time goal or like 89th?
Yeah, I think it was. It was a very... I remember it being very dramatic circumstances.
It was a crazy result right at the death there. So, you know, if Fraser keep picking up points and if Central Coast drop any... that match in a couple of rounds could maybe decide the club championship. If we have a quick look at who each team has, as I bring it up, Fraser Park's gone on a pretty good run. They've won their last 5 games. They've got Balmain, Nepean, Hurstville, and then Central Coast. So they've got a pretty good run the next couple. Central Coast, on the other hand, won the last couple of games with a bye there. They haven't lost, actually, since round 6, which, incidentally, was to Fraser Park. They just escaped over the weekend against UNSW, but they've got Ghazi. South Coast Flame, they may prove a small hurdle for them. And then Prospect, then Fraser. So, who knows? And they do have the bye in the last round of the season, so it could come down to the whole Central Coast United team heading down to watch Fraser Park over at, against Western Condors. It could make for a really interesting last day.
Yeah, and very dramatic last day at that. Is there anything else that you want to discuss, Will, before we wrap it up?
Yeah, no, that's pretty it. Ghazi back down to last on the club championship. I think they had a pretty good run in second last place there. But, that, you know, I guess it's familiar territory to them, the back down there. They are coming fourth on the table for...
Very contrasting side. Contrasting differences. But don't worry, Ghazi, we still love you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so with that, we'll wrap it up. Just want to say thank you very much, guys, for listening. Don't forget to follow us on our socials. We mostly communicate through Facebook. Find us on Facebook. And subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app.
Yep, definitely. We do check Twitter time to time. YouTube, we're going to try to start uploading a few more things. The rant will be going up there. Goal of the month is a bit delayed from May, but keep an eye out on that. And also check out our partners at New Entertainment Order. Links will be in the description.
All right, cool. Thank you very much, guys, and we'll catch you around next week.
Bye for now.